Well, it's good to be back with you in person today. Last week we were online only, and it was fun at our house. We had a service on the TV, and when I got up on the screen to speak, it was really confusing for Oliver, our little guy, because he couldn't understand how Dad was on the screen and next to me. And so that was quite fun to watch him try to figure that out. But we had a great time worshiping together. And today we're wrapping up this series, Being Human. You know, Jesus taught us what it means to be real people and what it means to be real people who love one another, who serve, who are generous, who are compassionate, and who live on purpose. And today, as we close out this series, we're going to look at what it means to be real people of power. You know, last week was actually Pentecost Sunday, and that's the day that the Holy Spirit fell on the church in Acts 2. And that was the celebration of this gift of the Holy Spirit. And today, it feels fitting that we're back together and we get to talk about the Holy Spirit together and what that looks like, how we have this power that was promised to us by Jesus, and now we get to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that same power that fell on that day, that same Spirit that joined the disciples and the followers of Jesus, is the same Spirit that is with us even now. And I wonder if we've forgotten what it means to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean for us to actually be real people of power? What does it mean for us to actually live out of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? See, in John 14 and 15, Jesus gave the promise of this gift. He says, I'll give you an advocate. An advocate is coming. One who will convict you, who will guide you, who will lead you, who will show you what righteousness is, and who will live inside of you. And all of that took place before Jesus went to the garden. He was at the table with his disciples, and then he tells them what's going to happen. And then Jesus goes to the garden. Then Jesus is betrayed. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is put on trial. Jesus is crucified. And then he dies, and he's buried. But then Jesus raises from the dead. And he goes and he sees his disciples a few more times. And if you remember, he gave them the mission. He said, go and make disciples. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. But where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the gift that Jesus was promising? If you read Scripture, you know the disciples were just left waiting. And waiting. And waiting some more. And maybe it's just me, but I'm not somebody who waits very well. I don't have a ton of patience. I may have some, but I don't have a ton. I get to my breaking point where I'm tired of waiting. One of the TV shows that I used to watch all the time was called How I Met Your Mother. Does anybody know that TV show? And How I Met Your Mother was, it's not that creative of a title. It's a story of a man sharing with his kids how he met their mother. It's pretty simple. It was on for 9 seasons, and it ran from 2005 to 2014. And the whole time, it's this guy telling his kids the story of how he met their mother. And the thing is, they left you waiting for 9 seasons to finally figure out who this mom is. You had to wait and wait and wait and wait for 9 years. I'm not patient. Luckily, I streamed it on Netflix, so I got to find out in a couple of years. What's funny is actually the finale episode is one of the worst rated in TV history because they completely messed up the whole story. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. As I was thinking of waiting, I remember like some other things that we used to have to wait for. I grew up with a VCR and VHS tapes in my house, and so I remember having to wait and fast forward through all the previews. Do you remember that? Like the preview, the loudest noise in the world would come on, and it would say, oh, like there's a preview coming, and then you're watching it for maybe 10 seconds, and like, okay, fast forward, I don't care about whatever movie this is, and then you would fast forward, and my siblings were always the one doing the fast forwarding, and they would go too far, and so then we'd yell at each other, and then we couldn't watch the movie because we got in trouble. I remember dial-up internet. Do you guys remember dial-up internet having to wait to connect for dial-up internet, and the noise it made was awful. Yeah, I'm part of that weird generation where I was between the two of like instant access internet and having to wait. And then I remember, this is in high school, I remember having to wait for free nights and weekends to talk on my cell phone with my girlfriend at the time. Do you guys remember that day? Like at 9 p.m., it was free nights and weekends, so you wouldn't use all the minutes on your family's plan. And 9 p.m. was late when I was in school. I don't know, probably because I woke up early, but... yeah, I remember having to wait and wait and wait. And when we think about all the things that we've had to wait for in our life, like it can feel like a lot of time has been wasted just waiting. But when I think of the disciples and the gift of what they were waiting for, that time was not wasted. I think God was doing something in them so powerful in their waiting that when this gift came, the way they accepted it is amazing. They had this great joy of the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were overwhelmed by this gift of the Holy Spirit. And what I love is that you and I, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for days and weeks and months for this gift of the Holy Spirit, because Scripture tells us that when we put our faith in Jesus, we get this gift. The Holy Spirit is alive in us. We no longer have to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit because it's alive and active the moment we put our faith in Jesus. So then what do we do with the gift? What does that mean for us? Today, as we look at the Holy Spirit, as we dive into who Holy Spirit is, this is going to feel like a huge topic because Holy Spirit's huge. It's part of God, the Trinity. And so we'll probably have to spend time just on who the Holy Spirit is another time. But we wanted to give you an overview of what it means to be real people of power and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, okay? And so today I want you to know that first, the Holy Spirit brings power that fills us. There's going to be a number of things that you can write down, and this is the first. The Holy Spirit brings power that fills us. And Scripture says this in Ephesians 1, 13. It says, "And when you believed in Christ," this is what he did. "He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." And then in 14, it continues to say the Spirit, it's not on your screen. "The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he promised and that he purchased us by to be his own people. He did this so that you and I would praise and glorify him." So here's what this means, okay? Here's what this means for us. It means that we are identified and filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as we put our faith in Jesus, we are identified as followers of his, sons and daughters of God, and then we're filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this filling, what it does is it says, "You are my son and you are my daughter." We belong to him. It means that we've been saved by grace and it's through our faith. Our identity is no longer what we did, but our identity is now in who God calls us to be. And he says, "You're my son and you're my daughter." And this was all done by the purchasing of our salvation through Jesus on the cross. It's all done through the blood of Jesus. And now you and I, we get to live to praise and glorify God with all that we have. And this filling is a powerful experience. You know, I don't remember the first time I surrendered my life to Christ. I was one of those people that I had to do it twice. The first time maybe didn't stick quite well. And I remember the second time I was with an adult leader. I wasn't living a great life, and I was just early, almost 20, 19, and I had a leader, a small group leader of mine from high school, sit me down and call me out and say, "Joel, what are you doing with your life? You're being a knucklehead." And he was a big football coach kind of guy, and so like it was intense and scary, and he said, "You need Jesus." And I was like, "I do." And so I remember that moment when we prayed together, and I said, "God, would you forgive me? And I remember Steve Anderson was his name, and he put his hands on me and he said, "Holy Spirit, would you fill him in a way that he's never known?" My heart started racing. You ever had that moment where your palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are, oh wait, wrong. Did you ever have that moment where it feels so palpable, like you feel God's presence and you just can't help but contain the joy, and it's overwhelming, and you're like, okay, this has to be God, because what I'm feeling, I've never felt before. I know some of you are still laughing from that. It's okay. Andrea didn't think I would ever say that in church, and you're welcome. But what happened is when the disciples first experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit, they fell down and they worshiped him. They worshiped God. They were awestruck by who he is, by his power and his presence. They were so amazed that God would send his son as a sacrifice for our sins and that he would call them all sons and daughters. And then God gave them the presence of himself in them. And what's so incredible, just to finish kind of out that story of Pentecost, what happened that day, is on the day in Acts 2, 38 through 40, I'm going to paraphrase some of Peter's words there, but he's saying that this gift happened because the people surrendered their lives to Jesus and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, what it takes for us, and this is from the prophet Joel, he says, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And do you know what happened on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day. I don't know about you, but I want 3,000 people to come to know Jesus through the life of our church. That may seem like a lofty goal. I don't even know how many people live in Owosso. Probably not even 3,000, because it feels that way sometimes. But the same power that saved 3,000 people that day can save 3,000 people today. And that same power is the very thing that lives inside you and me when we surrender our lives to Jesus. The Holy Spirit also brings a power that produces fruit in us. See, this is what it says in Galatians. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And then it goes on to list all of these things that we call the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. We only get the fruit produced in us if we're filled first. We need the Spirit to fill us before it can even produce in us. I want you to know that. You know, like a seed has to get planted for a tree to spring up and for fruit to be produced, we need to have Jesus in our life in order for fruit to be produced. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It fills us. Holy Spirit fills us and then produces in us. And if you look at all of these fruits, they're all characteristics of Jesus. Jesus fully displayed every fruit of the Spirit perfectly. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I can do that as well. And one thing that I want us to notice about the fruits of the Spirit is that they're all really about how we relate to other people. If you think of it, we show others love. We offer others peace. We're patient, kind, good, faithful, and gentle towards other people. And we need to show self-control in all of our relationships. Joy may be the only one that we experience on our own, but I know that I felt the greatest joy when I'm in the company of other people who have experienced joy. See, all of these qualities can be really difficult for us to come by naturally. And that's why we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life so that he can produce them in us. Like I shared with you, patience is not my strong suit. Our child right now loves to throw toys at your face, and it is not funny. And then when you tell him no, he thinks it's hysterical and laughs his head off. you know, I'm going to have a black eye soon, and then people are going to give Andrea weird looks in the grocery store. And she's like, I know, he didn't listen the first time. Amen. Yeah, thanks. Nice. See, some of these things don't come natural to us. But that's why we have to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us these fruits. So we may need more patience in our relationships with our spouses or with our children or with our coworkers. Or maybe we need to be kind to those around us because we naturally can't do that on our own. So that's where we have to say, Holy Spirit, would you produce in me kindness? Holy Spirit, would you produce in me peace? Would you produce in me love and joy and goodness and faithfulness? God, would you produce in me the very thing that I am lacking so that others can come to know Jesus through my relationship with them? Holy Spirit also brings us a power that guides us. This is verse 16, just before the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. It's pretty simple. The Holy Spirit guide your lives. See, that's what it takes in order for the fruit to be produced in us. We have to be willing to be guided to learn what it means to live a life of this fruit. And then continuing on in verse 16 and 17, it says, so I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Your sinful nature, it wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. I always picture the angel demon kind of thing, right? And over here we have the Spirit, over here we have your natural desires, and they're always at play. And what Scripture is saying, let the Spirit be the loudest voice in the room. Don't give your evil desires a seat at your table. These words from Paul are really clear, that we're to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. This is a great reminder for us to slow down, to take the time to stop and to actually listen. I was reminded how most of us, when we're driving in a place that's unfamiliar and maybe getting a little dark, what's the first thing we do? We turn down the radio. You turn down the volume, so that you can hear your GPS more clearly, so that maybe your vision gets better when you can't hear what the radio is saying. Don't know how that works. You know, we turn down the volume so then we can concentrate on what the GPS is saying to us, so we can see clearly what's coming ahead, so there's no distractions. Maybe we should do this in our life. Maybe we should turn down the volume of our life. We should turn down all the other stuff, all the outside distractions. Maybe we should let God's voice be the one that's guiding us. And the way we do that is through studying His Word, through reading Scripture, through spending time in prayer with Him, to saying, God, help me not to speak in this moment, but help me to listen to what you're actually saying to me. It means slowing down, turning down the volume. And that's all the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. As I was reading my devotional time this week, I've been in the Old Testament prophets. And God used to use these Old Testament prophets to corporately guide His people. And the way that would work is they would get these words from God, and then they would share them and say, hey, this is what you're doing, and this is where we need to go. This is what we need to be doing. And this was done very corporately. It was for nations. It was for a group of people, for cities. And what's amazing is now the Holy Spirit actually does this for you and I individually. They're still prophets and they're still needed to help guide us as nations and as a group of people. But God says individually, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to guide you as a person in what you need in your life. And speaking of prophets, that's actually what the Holy Spirit does as well. The Holy Spirit actually gives us gifts. if you didn't know that. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts that are called spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, there's a whole bunch of verses here. You can read them all on your own, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. But I want to highlight two of them for you today. The first is 12, 4, and it says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There's one Spirit, many gifts." We together on that? Cool. That was like a slow nod. I appreciate that. Verse 7 continues to say, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." Spiritual gifts are given so that we can help each other. They're not for us to flaunt. Spiritual gifts are not for us to find pride in. In fact, we're meant to humbly use our gift for the glory of God to help others. And what that means is that one gift is not more valuable than the other. There's not a hierarchy of gifts. There's not a tier system when it comes to gifts. Every gift is needed. Every gift is necessary and useful so that others can come to know Jesus. And only the Spirit is the one who gives these gifts. We can't obtain them on our own or in our own power. The Holy Spirit is the one who says, "These are your gifts." And the gifts are things like wisdom, discernment, healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, teaching, leadership, hospitality, serving, administration, evangelism, faith, mercy, shepherding. All of these gifts are useful, and every single one of them is needed, especially in the church today. And if you're wondering, well, I don't know my spiritual gift. I don't know what they are. I don't know what I have. I'm telling you, if you just go to Google, everybody's friend, and you look up free spiritual gift test, there are some amazing spiritual gift tests out there that will tell you what they are. And what we want to do as a church is we want to walk alongside of you. And when you know your gift, we want to say, "Hey, we have a place for you, and we want you to serve and use your gift to help others." Because that's what we're meant to do. Our gift is not meant to be kept inside and hoarded, but we want to help you use your gift and cultivate it so that God will get all the glory and all the honor. And I know, hearing all of this, hearing about the Holy Spirit and what Holy Spirit does, it feels overwhelming. You know, we can feel like we lack any power or ability to do all that we're meant to do. The good news is the Holy Spirit knows that. And the last thing the Holy Spirit does is actually empowers us. Holy Spirit empowers us. In verse 19 of Ephesians 1, Paul, writing to the church there, says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him." Then he continues to say that this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That same power is what lives inside of us. And I know we can feel overwhelmed when it comes to how we're meant to live as a Christ follower. You know, we have to do this or do that, but that's not the reality of it. All we have to do is sit in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow Holy Spirit to guide our lives. We don't have to do it alone, but the Holy Spirit's with us. And it may feel like we don't have any power to do it, and that's okay, because we're meant to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, when it comes to using our gifts, being guided, producing fruit in us, none of this is done by us, but all in and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I want to share with you just a little bit of vulnerability, if that's okay. But I often feel like I'm powerless. Does anybody else feel that? I often feel like I need help. You know, I've stepped into a new role as your lead pastor. And it's really new for me to be in. It's weird. I say that often. I learned that from my friend Mike over there. It's definitely very different to have to lead a staff, to lead a board, to make decisions that not only affect you, the church family, but our church family in St. John's. And there are many days where I just ask God, would you help? And this week, as I felt overwhelmed, as I felt overwhelmed by all that it takes sometimes, I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, rest. I got you. Rest in my power. Rely on me, because I'm here for you. I was reminded how it's not completely up to me. Do I need to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit's given me? Absolutely, I do. But I can only do that through His empowerment. And so my prayer this week was, Holy Spirit, would I be surrendered to you? Would you empower me? Would you guide me? Would you use me so that God would get all the glory and honor that He's due? And this isn't easy. It takes us putting our pride aside and humbly submitting to the Father. It takes us saying, I can't do this, but I trust and have enough faith that God, you can. And so I would just pray, God, would you empower me to do what I need to do so that others can come to know you? And so maybe for us this morning, it means taking the time to just pray that prayer. God, would you empower me through your Holy Spirit? Or maybe for you, it means, Holy Spirit, would you produce in me the very fruit that I'm missing in my relationships? Holy Spirit, would you empower me to use my gifts so that you get all the glory and I don't? Holy Spirit, would you help me to listen to your voice of guidance? Or maybe this morning, you need to surrender your life to Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. Or maybe this morning, throwing a curveball. Maybe this morning, you need to go public with your faith and you want to be baptized. You want to say that I'm a believer in Jesus and I've never been baptized, but I want to do that this morning. Whatever it is, we're going to take the time and just pause for a minute and allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And if you need to surrender your life to Jesus this morning, I'm going to be right down here in the front. Or if you want to get baptized today because you're feeling the Holy Spirit speak in your life that it's time for you to get baptized, come meet me right down here. I'd love to talk with you. But I just want to pray for us for a minute. We're just going to sit in a quiet reflection, and then the worship team can begin. Does that sound good? Cool. Would you pray with me? God, we surrender to you in this moment. That Holy Spirit, you would speak, and God, we would be obedient to what it is you're saying. God, would this be a time that we turn down the volume of all that we have in our head, all that we have in our lives, and just listen to you and what you're saying? Holy Spirit, would you speak in this place? Would you empower us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you produce in us the very fruit that we are lacking so that others can come to know you? God, we surrender this time to you. Would you help us to listen? It's in Jesus' name we pray.